Wonderful. Absolutely fantastic. Alec Douglas there. Not William Cole's Alec Douglas Hume, in case you're sort of thinking, oh, has he come back from the dead then? Well, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that is exactly what I was wondering. Have you got a dead Prime Minister on your programme?
It could be the case. I mean, Alec Douglas, still in the studio. Has anybody ever mistaken you for the former Conservative Prime Minister who served as Prime Minister between October 1963 to October 1964?
Believe it or not, they haven't. No,
they haven't. Yeah, you see, that's the reason you haven't been on the Midweek Drive. So we'll have to sort that one out. Meanwhile, William needs his ident.
William Coles, romantic novelist, political journalist and regular Midweek Drive correspondent from the capital of Scotland, with or without his prehistoric shark's teeth.
Which, of course, if you were analysing Alec Douglas Hume, you might sort of say, yes, Alec, where were the prehistoric shark's teeth when you actually took over from Harold Macmillan in the interim period before handing over to Harold Wilson in the white heat of technology? There are people who might think we're time-travelling at present, but in many ways, William, you're about to take part in a time-travelling pilgrimage. I say again, time-travelling pilgrimage in Spain this time next week, when even with the best mobile phones in the world, you're not going to be connecting with the Midweek Drive, because you will be doing that pilgrimage. And as we know from Pilgrim's Progress and the whole notion of a pilgrimage, you need to effectively allow the spirit to develop. But share with us, what are you doing it for, why are you doing it, and whereabouts in Spain will you be walking?
I'm going to be walking to Santiago de Compostela, and it's the Primitivo route, which is the oldest route from the 9th century, and it's the oldest, shortest, and toughest route to Santiago. So about 200 miles in 2 weeks.
See, clearly, William, I would not expect anything else than for your good self to select the oldest and toughest schedule from that particular perspective. Is this a kind of build yourself up to something we spoke about at length during 2017, of course, which was the Mongolian Derby? And I think given that we're in the heart of Cheltenham Horse Week and Racing Week, maybe the Mongolian Derby should not be forgotten.
The Mongolian Derby. Yes, well, the problem with that one is, first of all, it's 10,000 quid to go for it. And secondly, the riders have to be 80 kilos, so I'd probably have to chop a leg off for that one. No, this is just I'm not particularly a fervent Christian. I'm a very mild agnostic, but I've known all about this pilgrimage for some years. And finally, I'm getting round to doing it, a very small version of it, but I'm doing it.
I notice you make reference to having your scallop shell prepared. Would you like to enlighten us? Would you like to enlighten us? Why the scallop shell?
Oh, right. The scallop shell is the the totem of the all the pilgrims have a scallop shell, and apparently it's to do with the ridges of the scallop shell. They all head to the centre, and that is Santiago de Compostela. And so there must be 15-20 routes to Santiago de Compostela, which my one is the shortest one, but they all end up in the same place.
Well, no matter where we're heading in a direction, whether it's the 26,000 miles around the circumference of the Earth, we all eventually end up in the same place. Fun fact, I just realised that on an annual basis, I drive up and down from Teesside to Lincolnshire the same amount of mileage as indeed is the circumference of the Earth. So actually, I go around the Earth on an annual basis, except I use, obviously, a car to do it. I just thought that was amazing. Anyway, it's one of those things which I thought I'd address, given that the Midweek Drive so clearly
is... You need a certificate for that.
Do you think
so? Every year, yeah. I've been around the world again.
Oh, that's not only a great song, but also a long, long time ago from that particular perspective. You may well ask, William, what's going to be happening on the programme today? Well, we've got new music from Afnan Prince, who'll be sharing with us his latest line, which is all to do with scared. Not sacred, but scared. You change the syllable, you change the consonant, it can be a whole different meaning. But Afnan Prince, who is a new musician from France, actually, although he speaks excellent English, as we'd expect in these pre-Brexit days. So Afnan will be joining us. Stephanie Romaszewski will be talking about sleep physiology. She's the director in Exeter, no less, of the Sleepyhead Clinic. You see, never let it be said. We're going to work our way through this. And we've got Mark Burford from Echo Tape with another piece of new music. Andy Kerr will be connecting with us via the joys of, again, the telephone from Belfast. Yes, Andy Kerr is going to be back on the Midweek Drive, and the cheers could be actually heard throughout the Lincolnshire zone. Well, maybe it was just me hallucinating, but Andy's back. Louis Savvy from Sci-Fi London is also joining us. And we've got a feature on Joy King, who's talking about animal rescue work she's involved with. And, of course, we have Phil Lee as well. But are you aware of the importance of smiling, William Coles, in your role as either a writer, as a contributor to the Midweek Drive, or indeed as an ace broadcaster?
Yeah, I know all about it. It's very important to smile when you're on the phone as well, because even though somebody's on the other end of the phone, they can tell when you're smiling.
People can hear
you. The smile has to be authentic.
Mm.
If it's fake, then people just think, it puts people's backs up.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing worse than a fake smile. But the average British soul, apparently we smile 6,205 times a year. Who was it who said, don't start a radio show off with lots of statistics? It'll confuse people. 6,205 times.
18 times a day.
Yeah, pretty much so. And 74% of British folk actually say that their glass is half full when it comes to their outlook on life. Now, William, would you like to know what, according to this survey by Amazon Smile, has actually revealed these are the things that make us smile the most as a species?
Yes, people hurting themselves.
No, actually, it's a sunny day. That is number one. Just literally a sunny day is that thing that's most likely to make people smile. That comes in very much with 50% of the actual score. Other than that, having fish and chips by the sea, 36%. Hearing a baby laugh, also at 36%. Hearing somebody say, I love you, 47%. That's actually in second place. That actually makes people smile. Maybe it's just pity. I mean, that could be the case. It could just be, I love you. Oh, bless. Sorry, only kidding. And also, in addition to that, we've also got the notion of giving money to charity and seeing an older couple holding hands. They don't actually talk about
it. Right, okay, I get that. The thing I'm not sure about is a sunny day. I mean, I like a sunny day. Mm. It perks me up. But am I actually going to smile just because I see the sun?
You know, again, as ever, you have actually raised a very important and significant question, you know. I mean, maybe it depends whether it's sunshine after the rain, whether it's a case of you can see clearly now, whether it's simply a case of a sunshine day. Is it just simply sunshine? There are so many sort of areas that could, there's bipolar sunshine. There's Ain't No Sunshine, The Lighthouse Family. Steal My Sunshine. Len, would that mean that your smile would be turned upside down and you'd actually have a frown? Which one of those delights would you like to go to? Steal My Sunshine? Bring Me Sunshine?
Yeah,
Mortal Wise?
Steal My Sunshine, yeah.
You're going to go steal...
Stand in front of the sun and give me a shadow.
And steal. Steal that sunshine. Do it now.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah, Tim?
Hey, you talk to Mark lately?
I haven't really talked to him, but he looks pretty down.
He looks pretty down. Yeah, well, maybe we should cheer him up then.
What do you suppose we should do?
Well, does he like butter tarts?
I was lying on the grass on Sunday morning of last week, indulging in my self-defeat. My mind was thugged all laced, but it's all twisted around me.
Last night.
Almost impossible not to think of the West Coast of America when you're listening to Steal My Sunshine. Do you not think, actually, occasionally, when you're in one of those moments, William, of sort of pondering the world geopolitical situation, that maybe, just maybe, the President of the United States could actually take a leaf out of the book of the President of China and actually just say, forget elections, I just want to be president for life. Anyway, I'll just put that to you as a possibility, which, I mean, given that they...
If only Barack Obama had done that rather than Trumpy.
Well, you see, we can't sort of comment on geopolitics, and nor should we at the end of the day, because in the classic words of the Ferengi from Star Trek The Next Generation, every so often declare peace, it confuses the heck out of your enemies. It's possible that both Trump and, indeed, Kim Jong-un are simply actually looking to use the Ferengi's laws of acquisition to help further their claims. Anyway, that's...
Are you a, can I ask you, are you a DJ for life with Sarah?
Sounds like a prison sentence, doesn't it, really? I like to feel as though when the time comes to effectively hang up the old headphones, then rather like people who just fade away, I will simply fade to grey. That doesn't really answer your question,
does it? I thought you were going to die with your headphones on.
Well, who knows? Many people have actually said that has happened every week on the Midweek Drive. So, you know, we just have to wait. So where are we going on that one? However, tributes certainly to not only Stephen Hawking, not only Jim Bowen, but also Ken Dodd. What a triple whammy of celebrity deaths we've actually had recently. And if you wish to actually listen to some of our pieces that we did with Ken Dodd over the years on the Midweek Drive, because, yes, William, another Midweek Driver has gone to Heaven FM. Yeah, you can still do that, and he will live forever with respect to that. And in fact, I'm going to ask you, as we actually head off to Afnan Prince to talk about his stunning, I say the adjective deliberately, stunning new single, Scared, a gifted singer-songwriter from the northeast of England, would you like Ken Dodd singing Happiness or Think of Me When I'm Gone? Where are you going to go? Either way, could be...
I want to think of him when he's gone. I think it'd be appropriate.
You think that's the word? Well, actually, Think of Me Wherever You Are is the full title of the whole system. So does that change your influence? You're going to go Think of Me?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, then.
Happiness is not my favourite one.
Even though it's the only gift that we possess that... I best not go there. It's too much, really. 17 and a half minutes past 5 o'clock. Siren Radio is what you're listening to. And we have to ask those last two questions to William Coles. William, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
Yes, I have. Thank you so much for asking, Alex.
And we wish you the very best as you head off to northern Spain. Is there a way in which the listener can actually stay in contact with you? Will you be Facebooking? Will there be images going up? Will there be social media of the likes of Instagram, the likes of which the world has never seen before, as you actually take this pilgrim's frontline pilgrimage before you hopefully come back and share with us the thoughts in a fortnight's time? In Holy Week, actually.
Yes, well, hopefully Facebook. I'm not sure what the how my mobile is going to be.
Nobody ever is.
Nobody. But I'll give it a shot. Speaking to you in a fortnight's time from the Camino.
From the Camino. So you're not going to be back in Edinburgh. You will be there supporting the whole speech. It's wonderful. That, William, is duty above and beyond the call. And this, as requested, is the maestro, Doddy himself, with his words for you in many ways. Think of me wherever you are.
Thank you.
Now the sun's going down at the end of the day. It's a lonely old town, you're 1,000 miles away. Here I sit all alone, picturing your smile, till the day you come home, darling, once in a while.
Think of me wherever you are. Wherever you are, I'm thinking of you.
And my love will shine like the bright evening star that is shining on you. Wherever you are. Now the moon's in the sky and I'm missing you so. Time slowly goes by as the days come and go. Till you're home once again, this is all I can say. Darling, just now and then, at the end of each day.
Think of me, wherever you are. Wherever you are, I'm longing to be. Every night I know, wherever you are, you're thinking of me.
So good night and God bless, wherever you may be. The moon that you see is shining on me. We may be worlds apart, but the love we knew then will be safe in my heart till you need it again.
Think of me wherever you are, wherever you are, I'm thinking of you.
And my love will shine like the bright evening star that is shining on you. Wherever you are,
think of me.
And as one awesome entertainer heads off into the mists of legend, we can at least say that Afnan Prince takes the place of Ken Dodd. Perhaps not, but Afnan Prince is back with us on Siren Radio to talk about Scared. Afnan, good afternoon. Where are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm just on my way down to London. I'm on the train at the minute. Work never stops, as you know.
Absolutely, but that's the way forward. Now, one of the reasons you're with us today, not only thanks to the awesome Tony McDonough and Manila PR, is to talk about your latest release, which is Scared. Frightening.
That's right.
And we're about to actually hear the unreleased version of Scared, so it's a wonderful, exciting time here. Would you like to share with us, talk to us how this you came up with this whole notion of Scared and why you said, let's release it now as opposed to waiting for Halloween?
Yes, so Scared is basically a song that came out of an experience I had, the ending of a relationship, you know, that me and the co-writer, Elliot Cohen-Gold, we were discussing, and I thought it was the best way to articulate the feelings that we couldn't quite put out any other way. So it's not about Halloween or anything like that. It's more just the lament and the sharing and an experience of the death of a love, I guess.
But it is indeed a 3-minute piece of magic. We're about to hear it now. Afnan, if you kind enough, stay with us in fact, I would actually say if you're accessing this on the train heading into London, you should turn up your speakers to maximum. We're all set for this awesome piece of absolutely essential music from Afnan Prince and Scared.
Thank you very much.
It's okay, I know you're scared. Breaking apart is never easy. I guess life ain't always fair. But breaking your heart is not what I planned. I see your face when I'm getting wasted. I can't replace the feeling you gave me. It's okay, I know you're scared. Breaking apart is never easy. There's a lot of depth in the ocean. There's a lot of space between our love. Moving in a different motion. I'm drowning in your skin, but I can't touch. And I don't breathe your pain no more. But that don't mean that I'm not sleeping so. It's okay, I know you're scared. Breaking apart is never easy. I guess life ain't always fair. But breaking your heart is not what I planned. I see your face when I'm getting wasted. I can't replace the feeling you gave me. I see your face when I'm getting wasted. I can't replace the feeling you gave me. There's an hourglass in the distance. A little grain of sand falls every time. I think about what we could be missing. I think about the way our hearts caught fire. And I don't breathe your pain no more. But that don't mean that I'm not sleeping sound. I know I could deep to see what's under. I know It's okay, I know you're scared. Breaking apart is never easy. I guess life ain't always fair. But breaking your heart is not what I planned. I see your face when I'm getting wasted. I can't replace the feeling you gave me. I see your face when I'm getting wasted. I can't replace the feeling you gave me.
Winner of Best New Artist of the Year by Darkest Magazine, nominated for the Songwriter Award at the UB Awards, and indeed winner of Best New Artist of the Year, as we mentioned, airplay on BBC Six Music, BBC Radio 2, BBC introducing the amazing sound of Afnan Prince. Fantastic Afnan, and a brilliant video as well. I mean, it's a winner in every sense of the word.
Thank you so much, buddy. Whereabouts
have you reached now on this train journey from the northeast to London?
I'm pretty much just about halfway there. I think I should get in a couple of hours, and then it's straight to work as we always go. Mm. More songwriting magic to kind of try and create and work with some beautiful souls.
Which makes perfect sense. AfnanPrince.net is the place to go. I'm sensing a slight Irish brogue to your accent. Is there a touch of Irishness in there, or is it just a case of no? It's French and Geordie.
Oh no, it's more towards the American, I think, because I was based down in the States for a little while and stuff, and my accent fluctuates between like all the time.
Yeah, well, again, singer-songwriter from the northeast of England, just bringing Geordie to the world, a whole new, awesome experience of that. Whenever you release a song, I mean, is there ever a time when you sort of think, okay, being a perfectionist, you always want to get the next remix and so on, and I know that there's a new version coming out shortly, but is there a case of, do you ever get happy, or do you sometimes have to have somebody who says, Afnan, let it go, it's good enough, put it out there?
Definitely the latter. Because I'm forever a perfectionist, so I always try and like be as meticulous and as forthright with everything as possible. But sometimes you just gotta just let it out and let it go. You know?
And interesting enough, in terms of producing the aesthetic masterpiece in this multimedia, transmedia world, we have a video of stunning proportions that's been put together. We've got model Kate Apps, directed by Michael Srinan. Again, just out of interest, because there was a time where people said, it's all about the music. We just focus on the music. We don't do anything else. But do you actually have an image in mind as well, in terms of, do you share that image with your music video directors and you say, actually, let's put this online?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have an incredible in-house team, which, you know, was crafted together with the best kind of like people who are obviously very skilled at what they do, but you know, the best mentality as well. So when we bring the overall sort of feeling of the project to the table, we all know where it's going. It's all got a beautiful through line, and we try and create little segments of art as opposed to just like an individual song or a music video or anything like that. I think that's very important.
And a slight variation on the ideas and inspiration aspect. We're going to be speaking in a few moments to the director and founder of the Sleepyhead Clinic. That's Stephanie Rahomyshevsky, who's based in Exeter. Do you ever kind of get inspired during your start? Or you're having a dream and you wake up and you have to write down that thought straight away? Does that kind of impact you at all? Or is it a case of no?
Yeah. Absolutely. This is I took inspiration from Salvador Dali because I read about him when I was younger, and he used to hold a spoon and a pan next to his bed every time. So as he would be falling asleep, and as he would kind of enter his lucid dream state, the spoon would drop onto the pan and wake him up, and he'd remember all of the fresh images, hence his sort of a journey into surrealism. And I don't hold pans or spoons when I sleep or anything like that, but if an idea comes up, I'm very good at just getting myself up and writing it down.
I like that. I'm going to put that to our upcoming guests on the program, really. I mean, initially I was thinking, I've misheard. Surely he was talking about a pen and a pad. No, it was a spoon and a pan, which is a whole new different concept. And as you say, what better way to actually go to surrealism than actually having pans and spoons together? It's tremendous.
Oh, absolutely.
I feel as though there's a whole new series of surrealism that can be developed with your music behind us, Afnan. But for the moment, we have to ask you those last two questions. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the program today? Has it been okay with you?
I've had an absolutely fantastic, wonderful open chat with you, so thank you very much for having me.
And the great thing is we haven't gone under any tunnels either, because that's always the difficulty when you're somebody's actually on a train. Who knows what could have actually happened. Still, as long as the spoon actually landed in the right place on the pan, we wouldn't really worry too much. But can we look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future? Will you be kind enough to return to the Midweek Drive?
Of course, I would love to. Would love to be on there again.
AfnanPrince.net, the place to go to, as well as Facebook and all the usual social networking sites, etc. Afnan, we salute you. Take care now.
Take care, my friend.
You can do what you feel. Life is a Ferris wheel. Come take a ride. It's on the inside. It's all in your mind. It's all in your mind. It's all in your mind.
Their very own version of existential songwriting, the Partridge Family. It's All in Your Mind. Who better to speak to when we're talking about mind and image and body and sleep physiologists, etc., than a young lady who actually made her debut a couple of weeks ago when we were so impressed with her contributions in terms of the whole notion of getting the right kind of sleep, etc. We thought the demand was there. We thought we have to feature her again on the production. It's essential we actually say the words. Stephanie Romyshevsky, sleep physiologist and director of Sleepy Head Clinic. How are you? So the mobile just clicked out from that point of view. I take it then you're keeping reasonably well and the mobile hasn't gone to sleep. Stephanie, are you there? Clearly she's got... Sometimes you're faced with this little challenge where you think, is she there? Is she hearing herself? Oh, Stephanie, we had a start. Can you actually hear us? And
we got
the ICAM. We'll get there in the end. Right, Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you?
Excellent. All the better for actually managing to connect with your good self. I mean, it's Exeter. It's not as though you're in Mercury, Mars, Venus, or indeed Saturn.
I know.
Never mind. So we were just talking to singer-songwriter Afnan Prince there, and I put the question to him in terms of inspiration for his songwriting and so on. Does he make note of what things happen when he wakes up after having had some sleep, etc.? And he reminded us, of course, that Salvador Dali used to keep a spoon and a pan beside his bed. So when he actually woke up and the spoon would actually hit the pan and it would make a noise, and he would write down all his sort of ideas from that point of view. Is that something with respect to sleep that actually, in the rebooting of the brain, does our subconscious and our unconscious actually start getting really creative?
That's not an uncommon phenomenon, what Salvador Dali did. A lot of people do things like very creative or very like Einstein, people like that. They used to sit in a chair or something and hold a ball or a spoon or something. And just as they were falling asleep, they would drop the ball, so that would wake them up or something similar. And just at that moment between wake and sleep, we seem to have lots of interesting, weird and wonderful thoughts. And so it would inspire them. They're essentially building up a sleep drive and then depriving themselves of that sleep. It's very interesting. It's a common phenomenon that we know that works, but we're not sure why.
What was it that actually led your good self to take this part of the human experience to study in detail, Stephanie? When you were sort of thinking, as an ace undergraduate, what shall I actually study? What shall I do my BSc honours degree in? And what shall I do my MSc degree in behavioural? Why did sleep enter the equation?
I did a psychology degree at Surrey University, and there was a very interesting connection between Harvard Medical Sleep Division in Boston, the psychology department, and mm-hmm. used to be a professor that was a student.
Yeah, we were just losing us slightly there. We got the Boston connection with the student there, and then suddenly the phone decided to go to sleep. It's wonderful. It's great stuff there. Presumably you'll have to actually connect with us via balancing on one leg, leaning outside the Sleepyhead Clinic and connecting on that basis. It's okay. It'll happen. I'm not going to be defeated by the system on that. So it was basically out of interest in terms of sleep and the connection at Surrey University that kind of led you to say, actually, this is where I want to be. This will bring me to the auspices of Channel 4, in which I will be their sleep expert.
I basically got a really amazing opportunity to go and do lots of studies at Harvard Medical School on sleep, and they would often do studies with NASA and people like that, so we do these really interesting sleep studies looking into things like can we survive a 25-hour day, because Mars 25-hour day and 24-hour day. What kind of light keeps us awake? And that's why we now know that the spectrum of blue in light keeps us awake. So I came back with a wealth of knowledge and was like, wow, this is amazing.
And is there a commonality between ourselves and other mammals and mammalian life forms? I mean, we said in our piece a few weeks ago that sometimes we feel we're mammals, we should hibernate, surely. I mean, is it each to their own, really, when it comes to the best kind of sleep for ourselves?
Yeah, I mean, it is a little bit of that and the other. So we are very similar. Most of us, all the creatures on this planet, most of them sleep. And we do too, but the way that we do it might be slightly different. We're very diurnal, which means we like to sleep during the night and we like to be awake during the day because light is such an influential factor on our natural sleep-wake cycle. But there's loads of factors there, really. I mean, we all sleep differently, but essentially most things sleep. And so it's not something that we can just get rid of because we're always trying to look for ways to try and reduce sleep like it's not important. But of course, it is.
And as you rightly said, of course, if you're in the creative industry, sometimes your best ideas come just literally in that interim twilight zone period between being asleep and waking up and so on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it wrong to kind of interfere by sort of having artificial things like caffeine intake and coffee and such like? Does that actually, at the end of the day, it's a short-term gain for long-term pain? Would you actually suggest a kind of more homeopathic approach to sleep disorders and so on?
Yeah, caffeine is not ideal for sleep. And even those people that think that caffeine doesn't really affect them, it definitely affects the architecture of our sleep. So I know psychologically it feels nice that we're just sleeping and we seem to be more upset if we just don't sleep. But I think we need to be more we need to put more importance on the quality of our sleep. So, of course, caffeine, you know, a few hours before bed is not ideal for that reason, as are any stimulants or depressants. Things like alcohol, you know, coffee, tea, sort of quite high cocoa content of chocolate, things like that, just before we go to bed. It's not ideal. However, if you have a sleep disorder, so things like insomnia, they are not treated by simple sleep hygiene tips. So what you're talking about there is sleep hygiene, things like don't drink coffee before you go to bed and then you'll suddenly be able to sleep. It's not the way it works. Most insomniacs are very, very good with their sleep hygiene, and that's part of the problem. We seem to think that sleep hygiene is going to fix sleep problems, but actually it's our behaviours, it's our behavioural, the way that we sort of do our sleep that is wrong, i.e. the times that we're getting up, the times we're going to bed, hence why sleep scheduling is really helpful for sleep rather than looking all the time at what you're doing just before you go to bed, which is important, but with an insomniac, it goes beyond that. You need more help.
Stephanie, as ever, we knew you'd be uttering words of wisdom because that's why we invited you back on the programme. In terms of actually connecting with the Sleepyhead Clinic all the way down in that wonderful sleepy land of Exeter, exactly, presumably the website would be sleepyheadclinic.co.uk.
Yeah. And on my social media, there's lots of hints and tips. This month is all about sleep and movement. Next month, I'm going to do sleep and PTSD because that's a really common issue with sleep. So, lots of tips there.
Well, Stephanie, we now come round to two final classical questions. And I know that some of the midweek drive-outs who couldn't be at the show today because they're doing things like dissertations. Can you believe it? I mean, honestly, it's
that... Oh, I know. I remember those days.
Yeah. And let's face it, they'll look back fondly and think, oh, I wish I could do another 10,000-word dissertation. You can. We just probably won't mark it. You do it whenever you wish, effectively. That's the bottom line. But the key questions are, firstly, have you had a reasonably entertaining and hopefully fruitful connection with us today? Has it been all right for you, this telephonic link?
Absolutely.
Excellent. The next critical question is, assuming the telephone lines don't go to sleep and we can coordinate that, are we there in the end? Would you be kind enough to connect with us again in the very near future? Will you return, Stephanie?
Yeah, absolutely. That's
really
fine. I'd love to.
Excellent. Stephanie Romaszewski. Like Tomaszewski, but he used to be in goal for the Polish football team, and I don't think he actually fell asleep too often, but still. Romaszewski, many thanks indeed, and we will speak again very soon. Take care now.
Okay. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
You wonder. When you don't see the why or the wherefore, you walk out on me when we both disagree, 'cause to reason is not what you care for. Darling, the night is long. try to be smart, then you take it to heart. 'Cause it hurts when your ego is deflated. Ooh, you don't realize that it's all compromise, and the problems are so overrated.
Sage words of wisdom from Petula Clark. Don't sleep in the subway, unless, of course, you're looking for some kind of creativity. As the time now approaches 5:45, it's time for us to have another Siren News mini-report. And the Siren News team have this report on No Smoking Day.
Going cold turkey is the least effective way to quit smoking, Public Health East Midlands have said. A person is four times more likely to succeed by getting expert support from a stop smoking service and using a quit aid. Our reporter Catherine Daniels is here to tell us more. So Catherine, why not quit smoking by going cold turkey?
Well, Annabelle, 58% of smokers try to quit without an aid and go cold turkey, but they would have more success if they use quit aids. However, Public Health England say that 4 in 10 smokers and ex-smokers think that nicotine causes cancer, and so they don't use them.
So what is a quit aid?
Well, quit aids are things like patches, gums and e-cigarettes, and these are the most popular forms of nicotine replacement therapy. Using these make it 1.5 times more likely that you'll succeed in quitting. However, using a stop smoking medicine doubles your chances, and combining these with expert support makes it 4 times more likely that you will quit.
Why would the use of an aid help you?
Well, there have been a lot of false reports going around that these replacement therapies are harmful, but this is not the case. The risks of nicotine are likely to be quite low. Nicotine replacement therapies are safe enough for pregnant women and people with cardiovascular disease. The harm in smoking comes from the chemicals in smoke, including tar and carbon monoxide.
How big of an issue is smoking in England?
Smoking costs society approximately £14.7 billion a year. This figure includes NHS treatment of smoking-related diseases, which is around £2.5 billion a year.
She'll be 35, 4th of November. Still pouring coffee for the daily suits and ties. And singing along to the radio. Soul chicken for a microphone. Still keeping that dream alive. In her head they all go wild, but it's all smoke and mirrors. Flash them all a smile and give that crowd your best. If there's no gold, in a crazy cafe on the edge of town, he's just one more suit where the daily grind is getting him
wish them all a smile and give that crowd your best. If there's no gold or glitter, you leave your little life and get back in your head. Yeah, yeah. Don't smile and mirror. Oh yeah. Flash them all a smile and give that crowd your best. Ooh, yeah. There's no gold or glitter. You leave your little life and get back in your head. Yeah, you leave your little life and get back in your head. You leave your little life and get back in your head.
It's all smoke and mirrors. Or, as we might say on No Smoking Day, possibly hashtag selfie, chain smokers. Get that soon. Let's move along to a gentleman who I'm sure would never have actually gone down a nicotine route in any way, shape or form. Or even in Belfast, Andy Kerr. How are you, Andy?
I'm very well, thanks, Alex.
Excellent. So far, we've had some wonderful, challenging times, as you may have actually heard, going down to Exeter and having Stephanie Romyshevsky almost have a telephone line which went to sleep halfway through the system. Anna Lewis was unable to connect with us. The midweek drivettes, you know, I think they're too busy doing dissertations. Can you believe it? However, it's just unbelievable. But Charlotte March has actually said she's been listening, and she says good lineup. Well done, Charlotte. That's what we like to hear, a discerning listener. But what about yourself, Andy? Across the Irish Sea, in these pre-Brexit border discussion days of Belfast time, have you managed to catch any of this evening's edition of the Midweek Drive?
I have. I've been listening from the start. I have to say, I was very, very impressed at the speed at which William Coles divided 365 days into 6,205 smiles a year. That was impressive.
Well, you know, we always like to have numerate guests on the show, Andy, because how else can you pack out 7,200 seconds of interesting facts for anybody who's even got mild autism? No, sorry, kidding. We carry on in our own way. And, I mean, is that a journey, the pilgrimage that you would consider taking yourself and possibly sort of say, yes, you know, when we're looking to actually head off for a holiday, we'll take that journey across northern Spain?
It would be an interesting scenario, but I'm not great in the heat. You know, I prefer the cold weather to the really, really hot weather. Mm. So, but it depends, I suppose, on the time of year. And, of course, a couple of glasses of sangria along the way wouldn't go amiss.
Yes, I think the idea of a pilgrimage, Andy, unless I'm way off base here, is to actually ensure that you're suffering for your sins and actually sort of having stop-off points for sangria, not necessarily in the market. But we'll ask with you when he returns in a couple of weeks' time. You know,
I'm not really good at penance and indulgence that kind of scenario, Alex. I'm very sorry.
Well, as regular listeners will be aware, I decided this year to introduce the aspect of confession to the Midweek Drive because I thought it's good for the soul, it should be good for us, and every so often we just bring in a whole issue with respect to that, of which you get various factoids coming out, such as Afnan Prince's suggestion that maybe for creatives we should adopt the line that that Picasso used, and indeed Salvador Dali is what probably echoed it, and keep a spoon by our bed and a pan, and if the spoon strikes the pan, it wakes you up and you become very creative. Do you have any creative techniques or tips, Andy, that you've used over the years to say, this is what we need?
Well, I don't use the spoon in the pan or indeed the dropping of the ball as your last guess. Mm. Yeah, I'm gonna have a go at that, because I keep a rather than a spoon in a pan, as you heard the first time around, I keep a pen and a pad beside
yes.
the bed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I honestly thought the phone line had gone again. I must have misheard. And then you're in that quandary of saying, do you actually mean to have a pen and a pad? And I thought, well, that's too rude, etc. But no, it was definitely a spoon and a pen.
Yes, yeah. It's just, what I'm curious about is, was he sleeping, you know, sitting down, or in what position was it? Was he holding his hand out to one side with the spoon and the pan in it? Was the pan on the bedside table? Was it on his lap? I don't know. I'm curious. I'm going to have to experiment with this myself now.
I can sense a second PhD study coming on just as a result of this, Andy. I mean, really, I can from that. But it's amazing. Listen, it's been the high side of 6 English months, and possibly Irish ones as well, since you were last in the studio, last in Lincoln, effectively, back in September 2017. But worry not, Corettes of the world, and Corettes in Lincoln particularly. Notice the way I've actually given the fans of Andy a new name there. Corettes, or Corettes. Correct? No, perhaps Corettes. Corettes. The Corettes. You are coming back for at least one day sometime in April.
I am back from the Wednesday of the last week all the way through to the Sunday. So that last long weekend in April for a conference at Bishop Gross University on the aftermath of the First World War in Lincoln. I'm looking forward to it very, very much. So perhaps we'll get a catch up in the flesh whenever I'm over there.
Well, we indeed hope so. I know one of the Saturdays in April we're heading off to Sci-Fi Scarborough, but we will get other things sorted through. Hannah Brown has used the social media to actually say, I'm really sorry I'm not at Siren. So you should be, Hannah. It's a confession of unmitigated proportionalities. It's really sorry I'm not at Siren. I'm sorting some things out for my TV hand-in. That's television hand-in, in case you're thinking, oh, are they talking about a different clothes structure for gender non-specific people? No, sorry. It's an old line, but sometimes I feel that was almost a kind of Ken Dodd-esque moment, really. You know, I could actually sort of roll back the times to when Doddy was on the show at least once a year. But sadly, no more. Unless, of course, we try tapping the table or postcards. Still, never mind. And indeed, in terms of celebrity deaths, we'll take this up with Phil Leonis later on in the production. What a few days! You know, a triple whammy, Andy. I mean, surely there's got to be a situation comedy over Stephen Hawking, Jim Bowen, See What You Could Have Won, Bullseye, and indeed, the great Ken Dodd, the Dinny Man himself, ascending to the next level.
Well, you've forgotten about the most important one of the bunch, which is Liam O'Flynn. Who was a member of Planxty and played with Christy Murr and collaborated with the great Shea Mussini and so on as the traditional Irish pipes.
Exactly. Yeah, so, you know, just all over the place. But it's up to us who remain to remember them. And remember, if you're feeling a bit low, the reason we're still alive is because our mission on the planet hasn't finished.
Well, no, I read today, right, that a company called Nectomi, right, are working on the technology to scan people's brains, preserve their memories and their personalities, and then they can run that as a simulation after the person has died. Mm. The only downside is that doing that will kill you.
See, there's always a slight negative, isn't it? It's a bit like Walt Disney saying, well, Walt, you can live forever, but we have to decapitate your head. It never happened, okay? He was not frozen in suspended animation. The rumour, the urban myth was that he had been, but no.
Really? I didn't know that. I always thought that he was still in the freezer somewhere.
Well, Andy, as somebody who clearly actually sort of understands the ideology of Scrooge McDuck and the Disneyfication of the world, I'm a little bit shocked at that, but never mind. You know, it's okay. Let it go. That's the important thing, as they say, on Frozen. See what I did there, Frozen? Let it go.
Yeah,
sometimes, you know, sometimes I feel that the 2 months of rehearsal we put into producing every one of these shows, people don't appreciate it, but never mind.
I know, but it's time well spent. It's fun, isn't it?
You've got to do something when you're listening to... carry on regardless. Of course, Altered Carbon develops that equal sort of line in which you actually download our consciousness. If you're rich enough, you can continually live forever because you simply download your consciousness into a new sleeve, which is, you know, somebody who's obviously popped their clogs, etc. It's an honorary routine. Andy, since you've been over in Belfast, have you instantly acclimated to the Irish sort of scene of things, or are there moments when you sort of you wish for a bit of that Lincoln Green magic to still kind of permeate your life?
Oh yes, I'm awfully nostalgic from time to time for that big hill in the middle of Lincoln, walking past the castle and the cathedral every day on the way into the uni. You know, I do. I get all teary eyed and stuff when I think of the Jolly Brewer and all of the wonderful people, of course, I've left behind.
Well, the good news is one of those wonderful people is outside the door now. So if you bear with me, we'll have a musical break, and I shall actually stand up, walk to the door, open the door, and let this special guest co-presenter in. Okay.
Wow.
So, yeah. And it's hashtag selfie.
When Jason's at the table, I kept on seeing him look at me while he's with that other girl. Do you think he was just doing that to make me jealous? Because he was totally texting me all night last night, and I don't know if it's a booty call or not. So, like, what do you think? Did you think that girl's pretty? How did that girl even get in here? Do you see her? She's so short, and that dress is so tacky. Who wears Cheetah? It's not even summer. Why does the DJ keep on playing Summertime Sadness? After dinner in the bathroom, can we go smoke a cigarette? I really need one. But first, let me take a selfie. to go with XX Pro or Valencia. I want to look tan. What should my caption be? I want it to be clever. How about living with my bitches, hashtag live. I only got 10 likes in the last 5 minutes. Do you think I should take it down? Let me take another selfie. What a creep. Is that guy sleeping over there? Yeah, the one next to the girl with no shoes on? That's so ratchet. That girl is such a fake model. She definitely bought all her Instagram followers. Who goes out on Mondays? Okay, let's go take some shots. Oh no. Ugh, I feel like I'm gonna throw up. Oh wait, never mind, I'm fine. Let's go dance. There's no vodka at this table. Do you know anyone else here? Oh my god, Jason just texted me. Should I go home with him? I guess I took a good selfie.
Of course, these days on the Midweek Drive, saying Jason just texted me can give a whole new meaning, which I don't really want to go into, really, with respect to heads of school and various other things, because, you know, it's a different Jason, could be a different line entirely. Anyway, hashtag selfie, the chain smokers. Welcome, Tessa Snart, how are you?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you.
Have you missed Andy Kerr?
I have. You see, it's been a while.
See, Andy, you know, I wasn't kidding, you know, Tessa's missed you, you know, the whole Lincoln world has missed you.
Yes.
But you are coming back.
Yes, I'll be back for a visit. And, of course, I've missed you too as well.
Oh, well, never mind. Sometimes we just have to carry on regardless. Yes. That's the important thing. So, Tessa, any questions you want to put to Andy about his insights and cultural commentary from the city of Belfast?
Yes, well, I'm sure you've kind of discussed a bit before I got here to the studio.
No, we've just been messing about, actually.
Oh, okay.
Just two lads on the radio having a bit of banter. That's what it's all about, so I've been told.
Okay. Yes, tell me a bit about the cultural commentary from the city of Belfast. what's been going on?
Well, you know, people have been going to the pub. It's been raining. You know, there's no politicians working. They're trying to find out where all the money went in the renewable heating incentive scheme, which cost us billions of quid. And everybody's up in arms about whether or not we're going to have a border with the Republic of Ireland. Mm. So it's all it's just a fascinating, interesting, fun place.
It's all going down. It's all going down in Belfast.
Absolutely. We're all just getting along here, which is the main thing. as long as everybody just gets along, it's all good.
Yes, definitely.
That is ultimately the final line. Let's realise we're human beings on this little ball of rock circumnavigating the sun. And as we calculated in the first part of the programme, it's a circumference of the planet Earth that effectively I do on an annual basis, just travelling up and down from Middlesbrough to Lincoln. Oh, that was fascinating. anyway, Tessa, you can actually put those last two questions to Andy Kerr now before we go actually into featuring an awesome number from Echo Tape, another piece of new music before we speak to the singer behind Echo Tape. That would be Mark Burford. So off you go, Tessa.
Okay. Andy, have you had an interesting telephonic link with us this evening?
I absolutely have, yes.
And will you be joining us again on the show soon?
Anytime I'm invited.
That's brilliant.
Absolute solid stuff there for that program. Sure enough, it's Belfast. That's the routine there. They're all routines to across it.
Oh, I can't do that accent.
Yes, you can, Tessa. Listen,
Tessa. I wish I could.
You managed to make yourself understood in Newcastle-on-Tyne over weekend.
Oh, true. That is
so,
true. I did.
You know, working with Geordies for 2 days.
Yes.
It's a phenomenal. I'm amazed you come back. You know, they let you go, obviously, which is
they
great.
They did. I kind of didn't want to leave in the end, but, you know, it was good.
Well, that's Newcastle-on-Tyne, of course. A whole place in a whole different world.
Yes.
I think that I've fallen out of love with you. I think that I've fallen out of love with you. And it breaks my heart to say that I know we're better off this way. Sometimes